Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. Tonight we're going to be talking about Joshua chapter 1. It opens with a hard reality and a clear command. The reality is, Moses, my servant, is dead. The command is, now therefore rise, cross this Jordan. At this point, we see that Moses, a revered prophet, a revered servant, had passed on. And Joshua, the young man who had been training under Moses, being a servant to Moses, being a helper to Moses, would now be chosen to take on this responsibility of leading the Israelites across the Jordan to conquer the land that God has given them. Now, God here does not minimize the loss, but he also does not allow his people to stay paralyzed by it. And thinking about Moses and how much time that he has been the leader of these people under God, doing as God has commanded, I'm sure they grew close. I'm sure they would have mourned his loss. And as well, Joshua. But the kingdom work continues. No matter who passes on, the kingdom work must continue. We emphasize that God leads through his revealed will, and his people respond in obedient faith. Not feelings, not excuses, and not delays. And so the first thing we need to understand is death of other servants should not stop us. God's work continues when his servants pass on. We know that Moses was one of the greatest servants in Scripture, as we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, that Yahweh spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, we see here the story of redemption doesn't stop at the grave of a great leader. Imagine if it did. Imagine if Moses dies, passes on, and that's the end. Israel is left out in the wilderness, not knowing what to do. God's redemptive plan stops there. Imagine if it does continue and it comes to Christ, who would later come and free his people from sin. Imagine if he decides one day to get off that cross and never to go through with the will of God. We're done for. Just like Israel of Moses, if it ended there, it's over. Go back home. They've traveled who knows how many thousands of miles. It would be terrible. Some lessons that we can pull from this, and we need to pull from this, is that God's plan is bigger than any man. It is. It doesn't matter if it was an elder, deacon, preacher. God's plan will continue forth. His purpose will continue. The work of the kingdom must continue. Secondly, the mission does not rise or fall on personalities. It rests on God's purpose. Just because a preacher left or a preacher died or an elder and deacon died, God's mission does not fall on that personality, on that individual, because they have passed. It continues, and we must do as well. God's people must not confuse reverence for a servant with dependence on a servant. And we see that after the book of Joshua, you have the book of Judges. Joshua passes on, he dies. What does Israel do? They fall into sin. They go astray. Even though God is still there, still with them, leading them, they depended on a physical leader. And there's evidence of that when you go forward in time to Samuel's days. They wanted to be like other nations. They wanted a king to rule over them. And so they have this dependence problem on a servant, and not on God. Because God, as we see through the book of Judges, he would provide and raise up judges to free them. and to keep them free until they would die, and then Israel would jump right back into sin. And so congregations can become overly attached to a preacher, elder, teacher, or a faithful family. And we know circumstances happen. People have to move to get another job. Elders, deacons die. People die. It happens. No matter what happens, though, God's people keep moving. There are congregations that become paralyzed by the loss of a great leader, of a great preacher. And you know what happens most of the time? Those congregations don't do as they're told. And the congregations die. And this is why it's so important. And eventually I'll get to this point that we need to have the next generation ready to go to take on that responsibility. Because next one must step up. You know, I think about sports, and you know, you think about the guys who sit the bench. If the guy ahead of them gets hurt, next one up. Now's your time to shine. You need to prove yourself. Same thing goes with the kingdom. When servants die, someone needs to step up. People need to step up. God places responsibility on the next faithful servant. Joshua here had served 4 years under Moses. He wasn't just a random replacement. He was a proven servant. And we see that through the time in the wilderness. We see him as one of the 12 spies sent out to spy the land. And him and all 12 come back. 10 of them discourage the people. But Joshua and Caleb step up and say, God's already given us this land. Why worry? Joshua has proven himself a faithful, strong servant. God speaks to him directly. And that's important. Joshua cannot live on Moses' obedience. He must obey God for himself. And so lessons we can learn. Preparation often looks like attendance before it looks like leadership. You do not want people taking over as leaders of a congregation who cannot attend, who are not putting this first, who are not putting worship first, who are not putting God first. If Joshua was some random replacement and he was one that has not proven himself throughout the years, has not been faithful, he wouldn't have been a great leader. If he was one who relied on Moses' obedience instead of his own, that wouldn't have been a good leader to have. Faithfulness in small roles is often God's training ground for larger assignments. I think that's very important. You know, we always start off in small roles, whether it be serving, whether it be greeting, whether it be song leading, but we see once again this is a training ground for larger responsibilities. But even at home, can we train people? Can we train our children, the young boys that are going to grow up into men? We should be training them, getting them ready to take over the responsibility. That's one thing that we're lacking in, is that we don't have the young men who have that desire to want to step up and be one day deacons, elders, or even to serve. It's a problem. We need to be training the younger generations in these small roles for larger assignments. The next generation must accept responsibility, not just inherit tradition. Without the next generation, if a generation arises that does not know God, does not know what he has done, that spells doom. Because they will not continue the future generations on down the line. In the Lord's church, we need men and women who will serve now, teach children, visit the sick, learn the scriptures, grow in character. And so when this happens, when the responsibility comes, they'll be ready. Because as we look at Israel, there were generations that were taught, generations that remembered, but there were also generations that would arise and would not remember, who would forget what God had done, or may have never been taught what happens? Sin. A sinful generation would arise and be pulled astray, fall into idolatry, fall into many other sins, and forgetting their King, God. And so it's important, because Joshua was that next generation, and there would need to be another generation that would come about, but it would never happen. The next generation would lead into the book of Judges, where we see Israel in sin and foreign nations brought in. But for Joshua, when his time was called, he went forth and he led Israel and trusted and obeyed God through it all, and would conquer the land that was promised to the people. And so God's command is clear. It's very clear. It is arise and obey, as we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. God does not give Joshua a motivational speech. He gives him a directive. Arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people. When we look at the word arise, it carries urgency. Joshua must act on God's command. We understand there is a time to mourn, but there's also a time to move. We cannot continue to mourn the loss of servants who were near and dear to us. They would want us to arise and obey, to continue forth doing the work God has called us to do. If we are paralyzed, if we just sit back and mourn, we will never grow. We will never get the job done. God's promise are enjoyed on the other side of obedient action. And they are. We know of the reward that we will receive if we remain obedient, if we do as we're told by God. And that is, of course, eternal life in heaven with him for eternity. But isn't there other promises? Are there other blessings we do receive for obedient action? Absolutely. For one, that we have peace. We have joy. Absolutely. Those are wonderful things that we have in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, all you have is anxiety. All you have is chaos, destruction. You don't have the rest that Christ gives. And then faith is not passive belief. It is obedience response. Joshua couldn't have stayed on the east side of the Jordan proclaiming promises while refusing to command. We have too many people who stand up and they proclaim these promises. They proclaim to have eternal life, but there's no action. There's no submitting to Christ's authority. Imagine if Joshua and the people just stayed on the other side of the Jordan, never moved, never obeyed. Well, one, God would have taken care of them, and not in a good way. And so it's so important that Joshua leads the people and moves forward. Nobody can stay outside of Christ claiming hope while refusing Christ's terms. And we have a lot of people who proclaim, who outside of Christ, they claim hope, but it's not true hope. They don't obey. They don't prove their obedient faith. And so let's bring this all together. What do these two verses demand of us? First off, don't let loss become an excuse to stop. I have seen people who have lost loved ones and have given up. And it doesn't look good. They fall into a pit that they cannot get out of. Grief swallows them whole. Grief is real, but spiritual stagnation is dangerous. When we become stagnant in our faith, it will cost us our souls. Secondly, accept your responsibility in God's work. You know, I wonder if this is going through Joshua's mind. How can I fulfill these duties like Moses did? How can I be like Moses? You may not be a Moses. You may not be a Colton. You may not be a Nathan or whoever. God is calling you to faithfulness, to do your best, to do what you can for the kingdom. We need to learn to lead. We need to learn how to step out of our comfort zones and to continue forth. We can't rely on other people. And other people cannot save us. It is only in Christ by faithful obedience. Trusting in God and being obedient to Him. And finally, obey the word you already have. Joshua didn't need new information as much as he needed action. He already knew. Moses preached in Deuteronomy his sermon, a reminder sermon to the people. This is what you're called to do. They didn't need new information. Joshua didn't need it. He needed action. He needed to go forth. Many of us don't need another lesson. We need to arise and do what we already know. And it's very clear what we need to do. It's right here in this wonderful book, the Word of God. It tells us all that we need. We don't need no new revelation. We need to take what God has given us and do it. Not simply just reading, not simply just hearing, but doing. As James tells us, don't be a hearer, be a doer. Because if you're a hearer, guess what? You're going to forget. And we do all the time. We get distracted by the many things in life. Joshua was not going to let that happen. He heard God clearly what he needed to do. And he went and done it. He led the people. But the people, on the other hand, would forget. And when they did, sin engulfed them. And so we need to understand that tonight, God causes us to arise and do as he commands. Not being stagnant in our faith. We need to do as God commands. And if you're not a Christian, this is what God commands of you this night. He calls you to hear the word, Romans 10, 17. To believe that word, Mark 16, 15, and 16. He calls you to repent, to change, to turn from your old ways and turn back to God. And then he calls you to confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9, and 10. But it doesn't stop there. Like so many false doctrines teach, he calls you to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. We see that throughout the New Testament. You're being buried with him, and the blood of Christ comes and washes you, white as snow. And when you raise out of the water, you are now a new creation. But it doesn't stop there. God also calls you to remain faithful. That means do, not just hear, but do and apply what you have learned. Or if you're a Christian, were a Christian and fallen away, he commands you tonight to come and repent and be reconciled to him. We need to be doers and not just hearers. We need to do as God commands and to teach as well the younger generations in the lost, what God has called us to do. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.